Take your Bible this morning, and if you will, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Once you find 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I want you to find verse number 11, and then stand with me, if you will, please. We'll stand out of reverence to the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 11. Let me tell you the title of the sermon this morning. It's called, He Shall Suffer Loss. He shall suffer loss. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting with verse number 11, it says this, For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and that fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, and that's where we get the title of the sermon this morning, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And let's pray. Father, bless us today. The sermon is simple, but the sermon, Lord, is very pungent. Might we, as born-again Christians, realize we can suffer loss. Help us not to suffer loss in our lives. Might we do what we're supposed to do, when we're supposed to do it, and how we're supposed to do it, and might Jesus get everything out of us that he deserves. Bless us now. Lord, minimize the interruptions today so we can all concentrate on the teaching of the Bible, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I looked a little something up, and right before I actually get started on the rest of the sermon, there's a man by the name of Danny Cahill. And in 2009, Danny Cahill was on a show on television called The Biggest Loser. Any of you raise your hand if you know what The Biggest Loser is. It's a television show where they try to lose a bunch of weight. Danny Cahill started in August of 2009 on this show called The Biggest Loser. He weighed 430 pounds. And he lost 239 pounds. His finishing weight was about 191 pounds. And according to the show, they aired it over a 12 or a 13-week period. And so, but if you can imagine that, and he was deemed the biggest loser. I got to tell you something, though. I know some Christians that are losing at a more rapid rate than that. And I'm not talking about weight. I'm talking about some Christians that are losing some reward and losing some wonderful opportunity in their life at a faster rate than old Danny Cahill was losing his 239 pounds. If you are listening, the Bible says, If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Could I recommend to everybody here that you don't destroy what you have worked for in regard to your service to God? Don't cause yourself loss due to your disobediences. Have you ever heard someone say that old saying, Well, I ain't got nothing to lose. Ain't got nothing to lose. Let me tell you something, Christian. You've got a lot to lose. We have a lot to lose. Saved people have a lot to lose. Now, thank the Lord, you can't lose your salvation. That's very clear in the Scripture. 2 Timothy 1:12 says, For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And that's talking about your salvation. Thank God you can't lose your salvation. Once you're saved, you're always saved. But you can lose so many wonderful things because of disobediences to Jesus. Listen, I've been doing what I do for a long time. I started preaching when I was a 16-year-old boy. I've been talking to people about heaven and the Lord and the things of God for a long time. It's what I do 7 days a week, and I've been doing it all through my life. I meet people who are saved, but when you begin to talk to them about their salvation, they're so far away from God, they wonder if they're saved or they don't think they're saved. Now listen, if you have asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you, and you did it according to the Scripture, He saved you. He's not an Indian giver and He's not a liar. But did you know that you can get yourself to the point in life to where you're wondering You're wondering what's going on with you, and you're wondering why isn't the blessing of God there? I've watched people get so far away from the Lord, they have lost so many things, they begin to question their own salvation. And again, if you've asked Jesus to come into your heart and save you, and you did it according to the Scripture, He saved you. Boy, can we mess ourselves up. Boy, can we distance ourselves from God and feel a long way away from Him. And I wish we wouldn't feel that way, and I wish we wouldn't get into that mess. I call the sermon, "He Shall Suffer Loss." Stop and ask yourself if you're willing to lose what God has for you so that you can do what you have for you. Folks, many times we get into trouble because we do what we want instead of what God wants, and we do our will instead of doing God's will. You know, God gives saved people a lot of fantastic benefits. I mean, we get joy. We get direction for our lives. There's a special love that Christians get to experience. There are financial blessings. There's a special unique fellowship with God and God's people. There's a confidence that comes to us in our Christian walk. There's a health that God provides. There's a great life to live. There is the Holy Spirit of God that lives within us that can help us through things. But folks, whatever you do, don't sacrifice all those benefits. Now, God's not going to let you lose your salvation, but I can promise you, you can be the biggest loser of benefits, just like the television show. Are there people in here? Could you be deemed the Twin Rivers Baptist Church's biggest loser? Because of all the joys and the benefits you're losing by not obeying God. The sermon's quite simple. I'm going to show you very quickly some things that you can lose as a Christian. And remember, not your salvation. Boy, you sure can be miserable in this life as a Christian if you're not careful. You can be saved, yet so as by fire. And you can suffer loss according to the Bible. For instance, folks, do you know that you can lose your joy in life? Psalm chapter 51, verse number 12, David said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit." He didn't say, "Restore unto me my salvation," because he had not lost his salvation, but he sure had lost his joy in life. David had committed adultery with Bathsheba, Uriah's wife. And what ends up happening is David loses his joy as a result of that. The Bible says in John 15:11, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Now, if God says there's the possibility of joy being full, then there's the possibility of joy being the opposite of full. Empty. Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace." Listen, folks. When you got saved, God gave you an element of joy, and God can add to that joy, and you can have full joy, and you can have joy in your life. But I've got to tell you, if you're not careful and you don't do right in life, you won't lose your salvation, but you sure can lose your joy. 1 John 1:4 says, "In these things write I unto you, that your joy may be full." Born again people, when they don't obey God, they're just not happy. You may sin, but it's not going to be a real happy thing for long. No, the Bible does say there is pleasure in sin, but it is for just a short season. The devil entices you into it, and he gives you a little fun and a little joy, but it's not long till that thing catches up with you, and you say, "God was right, this is not right, I'm not happy, I don't have joy," and there are people in this room, you're the greatest loser. You are miserable right now. Right now. Because you have gotten yourself away from God and you want to know why your joy is gone. It's not God's fault, it's your fault. You're the greatest loser of joy. Stop and ask yourself before rejecting God's teaching, do you want to lose your joy? I wouldn't want to lose my joy. Oh, but not only that, not only is there a loss of joy, there's a loss of light. Light. Let me explain it. 1 John 1:6 says, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him, we walk in darkness." Listen, when you walk with Jesus, you are in the light. When you walk away from Jesus, contrary to Him, you're getting yourself in the dark. This is a loss of direction in life. Psalm 119:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Folks, listen, when you get backslid, when you get away from God, when you start disobeying God, you get off the lit path. You get out of the light. When you get out of the light, you're going to start losing your direction. Jesus is the light of the world. His word is our guiding light. His word gives us direction. I've flown on many an airplane. And I have to tell you, I thank God when we land at night that there are runway lights. You know, there's some of you right now, you say, "I'm in the dark of night in my life." Well, you better stay close to Jesus because He's the light on the landing strip. And some of you are going to crash in the night if you don't get yourself close to God. You need the direction of the Bible. You need the direction of the church. You need the direction of preaching. You're going to be the greatest loser. You're going to lose your joy if you're not careful, or you'll lose your direction from God, that direction in life. When you reject His word, you're rejecting or losing the guiding light of your life. I would recommend, you know, if your car doesn't have air conditioning, you could probably drive it. If your car's electric windows did not work, you could probably drive it. But if your car's headlights don't work, I would be careful driving at night. That's not safe for you, and it's dead sure not safe for the rest of us. You need that light. You need that direction. The less light we have in our Christian lives, the less sight we have in how to maneuver through light. And folks, you better stop and ask yourself this question. Do I want to lose the light that God provides for me in my decision-making and how to live my life? The greatest loser was not this guy that lost 239 pounds on the television show. I think some of the greatest losers are Christians that won't live for God and they lose their joy, and Christians that won't live for God so they get off of God's path for their life. They've lost the light of the direction of obedience to God, and now they're miserable, and decision after decision, their life gets worse. And by the way, the worse the decisions they make, the less the joy that they have, they're becoming the biggest loser. Your sin keeps you from seeing what you ought to see. Hey, before you make a decision to get away from God and God's Word and get away from church, maybe you ought to ask yourself, what do I have to lose? What do I have to lose? Did you know that you won't lose your salvation, but you could lose the kind of love there ought to be in your life? 1 John 2:15 says, "But whoso keepeth His Word, in him verily is the love of God perfected." Now look, if the love of God can be perfected, that means there is an opposite. It could be that the love of God is not perfected in someone's life. Now, is that something wrong with God's love? No. That's something wrong with the object that was in the process of being perfected or purified. And God said, when you stay obedient to the Word of God, the love of God is more fulfilled in your life. It's more perfected. It's more purified. It's more obvious. It's more usable. It's more active. See, by keeping God's Word, you'll keep the love of God in your life where it ought to be. 1 John 2:15, verse 15, 16, 17 says this, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof." Look, folks, God doesn't want your life filled up with love for the world. I think to some degree, however much you love the world, you've filled your love container with the world, and it should have been filled with the love of God. To whatever degree you're filled with the love for the world, to that degree you're not filled with the love that God has for you. And some of you say, I want to love right, I want to be loved right. The problem is you have got yourself half filled with loving things that you should not love. So you're losing out on the love that God would have to be active in your life. Your sin keeps you from loving like you should. Folks, believe it or not, this old world needs somebody to love them God's way.
Your sin will keep you from loving your wife like you ought to love your wife, and your sin will keep you from loving your husband like you ought to love your husband, and your sin will keep you from loving your children like you're to love your children, and your sin will keep you from loving your parents like you ought to love your parents, and your sin will keep you from loving God like you ought to love God, and your sin will keep you from loving the lost like you ought to love the lost. You see, there is loss that goes on in the Christian life. You can lose your joy. You can lose your direction. You can lose proper love in your life. Look, sin robs us. The Bible used the terminology, he shall suffer loss. He'll be saved, yet so as by fire. So, I could lose proper love in my life. I could lose the proper joy in my life and the direction or the light in my life. But not only that, I think we lose a fellowship when we get away from God, when we distance ourselves from God, when we live in sin. There's a fellowship that God makes available. It's one of those benefits of being a Christian. In 1 John chapter 1, verse number 3, the Bible says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father." Here, God said, saved people get to share a fellowship between each other that's unique. And that's a wonderful thing. We call it the Christian brethren. It's a great thing when you have fellowship with God's people and it's pure and it's decent. And not only that, he said also, the purest of fellowship is then that which we get to experience between us and Jesus, or us and God the Father. But listen, in verse 6 and 7 of 1 John chapter 1, it says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. You know what that's telling us? When we're walking in darkness, when we're not doing what we're supposed to do, when we're disobedient to the Scripture, when we're doing wrong, we are distancing ourselves from the Father, and we don't have the kind of fellowship we should have with the Father. And if you say you have fellowship with the Father and you're walking in darkness, you're just lying about it. You can fool everybody else, but you can't fool the Father. He knows whether you're close to Him or not. But folks, when you get saved, there's a fellowship that you get to have with God's people. And when you get saved, there's a fellowship that you get to have with God the Father. But when we distance ourselves, when we disobey, we are limiting that fellowship. And so, you know, that fellowship's real important. It's very important in your life. Look, when no man can reach out and help you like you need to be helped, you need fellowship with your Father. And man's not available 24/7, 52 weeks out of the year, 365 days a year. But I'll promise you, your God never slumbers and He never sleeps and He's always available. But if you're not careful, sin will distance your fellowship with the Father, and you're a loser because of it. That great benefit of fellowship with the Father, because we get to be His children. When we do wrong, that sweetness of fellowship with God, it's diminished. And it begins to go away. Look, you can't lose your salvation, but I'll tell you this. You can lose your fellowship with God. You can lose your joy in life. You can lose proper love, the ability to love and the ability to receive love. You can lose your direction in life. You can lose that light that God shines on your life for decision making. That loss of fellowship. Not only that, I think that when we are not doing right, we certainly limit or diminish the fellowship that we have one with another. Husbands and wives, you want to be close together? Get close to God. You want to be close? Get close to God. Parents and children, you want to get close to each other? Get close to God. Let Him become the common denominator. That helps. But I believe that when you and I disobey God and get away from God, we are severing elements of fellowship both with God and with God's people. You know, people can get far enough out of fellowship with God, they don't even come to church anymore. Are you going backwards in your fellowship with God and God's people? Or are you increasing your fellowship with God and God's people? Be careful, you can suffer loss. The greatest loser wasn't the man that lost 239 pounds. I think one of the greatest losers are the people that lose their joy and lose their direction and lose the love that God has for them in life and loses the fellowship that they ought to have. Fellowship's important. Not only that, I think, and listen to this, because I think this is important to some of you. I think there are Christians today that they don't have the confidence that they ought to have. And I'm not talking about arrogance in life. I'm talking about scriptural confidence. And I happen to believe that when we're disobedient to God, we begin to lose our confidence, especially about spiritual things. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, it says, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, we have confidence toward God." It's talking about being condemned in the way that we live. You know that you have a certain confidence that is available to you because of your salvation, and not only that, because of your scriptural living. Look, when you live right, there are certain promises that God makes to you. When you live right, there are certain blessings. Hey, but look, when you live right, you have joy. When you live right, you have fellowship. When you live right, you have a certain kind of love. You have all those things. But when you start living wrong, you begin to minimize those things, and you begin to minimize your confidence in life. There's some of you, when you were living better, you had more faith in God, so you did what you needed to do by faith because you had confidence in God's ability to keep His Word. But the further away from God you get, the less confidence you have in that God, and the less by faith you live. When you obey God, He brings to you a spiritual confidence. Again, it's not an arrogance, it's a confidence. Obedience produces spiritual confidence. Lack of obedience reduces spiritual confidence. It's funny to me, the people who obey God about their finances are usually the ones that are most confident about their finances. But boy, you start disobeying God financially, you will start losing confidence in many areas of life. So, you're not going to lose your salvation, but you can lose your spiritual confidence. You're not going to lose your salvation, but you could lose proper fellowship with God and God's people. You're not going to lose your salvation, but you could lose loving right and receiving love the right way. You're not going to lose your salvation, but you can lose your direction and your proper decision making and your the light of life. And there's some of you, you're miserable, and I'll tell you why you're miserable. You've lost your joy. Why? You disobeyed. That's the way it works. But only that. I think that the Bible does teach, and I mentioned this a moment ago, the Bible teaches that we might not lose our salvation, but we sure can lose in the area of our finances. In Malachi chapter 3, verse number 9, it says, "Ye are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me." That's talking about robbing God of the tithe, but not only that. In Malachi chapter 3, verse number 10, it speaks of the devourer. Here's what God promises. God promises if we'll be faithful with our tithe and our offering, then God will protect the rest of our money so it's not devoured up in life in wrong or worthless ways. That's what God promises. Now, look, when we don't give right, the promise of God protecting our finances from the devourer, we've eliminated that promise. Now, I don't think anybody here ought to pass judgment on somebody else here. I think you've got your hands full taking care of you spiritually. But do let me tell you what the Bible is teaching here. There are people who are losing money that you would not have to lose in life, and it's because you're not obeying God financially. Because God does not owe you that spiritual insurance of protecting your funds from the devourer, but you've got to be faithful to God. You say, "Well, I'm worth $1 million. I'm doing okay, and I don't tithe. I wonder what you'd be worth if you did." You know, the Bible's true, not your portfolio. Say, "I'm worth $1 million, and I don't tithe." Let me explain. You probably should have been worth $5 million, and you've lost money because you weren't obedient to God, and God said, "I can take care of the devouring forces in life that deplete your finances when you do right." See, obedience produces this. Disobedience retracts it. You have something to lose. Are you the greatest loser financially? Are you the greatest loser because you've lost your spiritual confidence? Are you the greatest loser of fellowship or of love or joy? Are you the greatest loser because of the loss of direction or light? Let me give you a couple more and we'll be finished. I think that we can lose our health. I think that there is a way that a Christian can lose health that they shouldn't have to lose. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 30, it says, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Let me explain where that comes from. It comes from a passage of Scripture where they were taking the Lord's Supper. And during the Lord's Supper, there was a warning given: when you take the Lord's Supper, you want to make sure you're right with God. And if you're not right with God and you take the Lord's Supper, God said you can suffer loss. Matter of fact, He said there are some people that take the Lord's Supper and they're so far away from God, they even sleep. Now, the word sleep there is talking about death. They're talking about closing your physical eyes in death. But it talks about here also many are weak and sickly. So there's two things taught. We'll get to the loss of life in a minute. Let me show you. Here it says, "For this cause many are weak and sickly." So if there's sin in the life and you won't take care of it, God said there is a chance then I can reduce your health. Now, I said this a moment ago about the finances. Everybody here, you need to attend to your own spiritual business. If you know somebody that is struggling financially, it's not your business to say, "Look, that's a curse of God on their life." You don't know that. You can't even figure out what you had for breakfast yesterday. I wouldn't be passing judgment on other people. Now, you say, "I know somebody that's not well, Pastor." Does that mean that it is the result of a known sin in their life? No, that doesn't mean that at all. God is the one that knows what that is. But I will tell you this. Let me talk to you. You, personally. It's very clear in the Scripture. God said, if people get away from me and they won't live for me, they stand the potential. There is the possibility that there'll be loss of health because of it. Now, I can't pass judgment on you about it, and you shouldn't pass judgment on me about it, but you better take a good look at you. And you better face you, and you better meet up with God, and you better figure out if you've got a problem, because you could lose your health if you don't do right. Hey, you're not going to lose your salvation, but you could lose your health. You're not going to lose your salvation, but you could lose your money. You're not going to lose your salvation, but you could lose your spiritual confidence, or proper fellowship, or proper love, or joy, or the loss of light. Hey, you say, "Well, what do I have to lose?" You've got a lot to lose. You could be the biggest loser. So we could lose health. God does allow the loss of health due to sin. What do I have to lose? Maybe it's your health. Hey, did you know that there's another loss that a Christian could suffer? In Judges chapter 16, verse number 20, we find that Samson lost the power of God in his life. The Bible says in Judges 16:20, "And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him." So you know, in the Bible, it is said more of Samson than any other man. It said, "The Spirit of the Lord was upon him." It said it over and over and over again. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. I mean, it was repetition over and over and over again. Then Samson got out of the will of God, and it just happens to be, in this case, Samson got out of the will of God with the opposite sex. He went chasing after a woman that was not like him, a woman that did not believe right, a woman of a false god. He should have separated, but he went toward the wrong direction in regard to the opposite sex. And God said, "I am going to retract the Spirit of the Lord from your life." Doesn't mean Samson lost his salvation. It means that he lost the power of the Holy Spirit of God in his life. And it says again in Judges 16:20, "And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him." Folks, let me tell you something. If you don't live right and you won't do right, you won't lose your salvation, but you could lose the power of God in your life. You could lose the sweetness of the Holy Spirit of God working in your life. There are people in here right now. It used to be you could sit in church and you knew that the Spirit of God was working. You'd get tears in your eyes and in your heart. You just knew something was happening and you were tender toward the things of God. You used to couldn't wait to come to church. Now you just can't wait to get out. You used to love the preaching. Now you just wish you'd shut up and sit down. You used to like the music. Now you can't wait to get out and turn your radio on so you can go back to the music slop of the world. What happened to you? You got to living in sin, and the Spirit of God has began to retract Himself, and it's not sweet to you anymore. Is the Holy Spirit of God still tugging at your heart? Hey, you have any element of revival at all in your life? You have to make yourself come to church and make yourself do the things you're supposed to do. Do you have any excitement about God anymore? What happened? You started to get away from God and you began to retract and He began to withhold His Spirit. Hey, He will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He will stay with you in salvation all the way to the end. But you can be a miserable, backslidden, Holy Spirit squelching Christian. And you never get anybody saved. And you never get excited about the things of the Lord. And you never make anything happen for God anymore. Why? You're backslidden and God has retracted His Spirit. God does it with individuals. God does it with churches. Oh my. What do I have to lose? Power of God? Want to lose the power of God in your Sunday school class? Or have you already? You stand and teach, teacher, and you can't get anybody's attention and nobody cares? Is that the way it is, bus captain? Ministry leader? Is that the way it is? Have you lost that power? Oh, you're not going to lose your salvation. But can you see how a Christian could be the greatest loser and go through life bummed out, struggling, down, hopeless, lack of confidence, no joy? You see, God tells us, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Let me give you one more point and we'll be done. You could lose your life. You could lose your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 30, it says, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Earlier, when I was explaining that scripture in regard to the loss of health, I mentioned here, when it says many sleep, that goes back again to the Lord's Supper and the taking of the Lord's Supper when someone is not right with God. They've got known sin in their life. And God said, if someone gets far enough away from me, it may be that there will be loss of life. Did you know you can get far enough away from God that He will take your life, take you to heaven, and it'll be done? You say, you trying to scare me? If you're stupid enough to sit there and don't think God can do it, I wouldn't want to live with myself thinking that kind of a thing in church house. You got to be pretty far gone. You say, you trying to threaten me? I don't need to threaten you. I just serve God and I know what God said in the Bible. You say, I'm not afraid. You ought to be afraid of God. Part of the problem in America, we're not afraid of God anymore. There's a story in the Bible about a couple by the name of Ananias and Sapphira. They had made promises to God that they did not keep. And these promises somehow, now these happen to be financial, but I don't think that's the only thing. I think God is saying, Ananias and Sapphira crossed a line with God. Do you know that the Bible says they both, husband and wife, dropped over dead? The Bible makes it real clear. They lost their life. A man said to me, I was told by a preacher years ago, I was told that God has the ability to take from me anything that I put above Him, anything that I put before Him, God has the ability to take it. He began to weep and he said, and I use my children as an excuse. He said, and I lost one of my children. He said, and the day that I received the call about my child being dead, the picture of that preacher in my mind came immediately. when he said, God has the ability to take anything that I put before him. Let me tell you all something. You put your money before God, he has a way of fixing that. You put your kids before God, he has a way of fixing that. You put your job before God, he can fix that. You're healthy, and you could have been at church, but you don't come to church and you make up excuses, he can fix that. You say, my job, he can fix that. You could be unemployed tomorrow. You could be broke tomorrow. You could be dead tomorrow. Any of us could. The Bible teaches when a person is born again, there are so many wonderful benefits. Great benefits. But God said those benefits can be lost. You'll not be lost as an individual. You'll be saved as you're born again. But be careful. You do have something to lose. 2009, Danny Cahill was the biggest loser. Lost 239 pounds. He's famous. I wonder if there are not all sorts of Christians that are bigger losers than he'll ever be. Because of the loss of so many wonderful things that God makes available. You can write your losses off as coincidence. But I hope the Holy Spirit of God reaches down deep in your heart and says, that's not a coincidence. You were told today why you are suffering loss. I hope then it will cause you to decide, you know what? I think I'll bring the loss to an end. I'll get myself straightened out with God.